and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All right, WTCM News Talk 580, welcome to another episode of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout, CFP. Welcome aboard to our humble abode, sir.
Hey, good morning, Ron. This is great. We're in a very comfortable little studio here on the 15th floor of the Empire State Building, right?
It seems, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's April 1st, so here we go, April Fool's Day. All right, so this show this week is about how COVID has impacted people's retirement planning. How COVID has impacted, and it's surprising, the stats out there, 82% of respondents from a Fidelity survey said that they've had major impacts. COVID has had a major impact on their retirement planning. So even though today is April 1st, which we're actually going to have a couple of stories after the break here, April 1st type stories, if you will, we'll get into those. But even though it's April 1st, a relatively serious subject, it's very interesting to note and see. Yes, Ron?
You remember about a year ago when the stock market tanked, that probably was the beginning of the major impact that people had on their retirement planning.
It really was. It was incredible how much it came down in that short a period of time. In 6 weeks, it dumped about 35% of its value. Well, in today's dollars, that'd be about 10,000 points. On the Dow. So real significant impact. Now, what's interesting too is that in April of last year, it had its biggest increase in 30 years. So it turned around dramatically too. And this whole retirement planning gig is such an unknown with so much responsibility. So it really points up. Some of these stats are very interesting in what they may remove or help you individually with your own information that you need to be aware of. But it's also interesting to see how others are responding as well. And we have a phone call here, Ron.
Yeah, before we get into that, you want to grab a call from Bill is in Traverse City with a question about stimulus checks and teenagers. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Dennis. Thanks
Good morning,
for taking
Bill.
The call.
You bet.
Hey, my teenager is interested in his words, a share of the stimulus check, and I'm just trying to balance, save some, spend some, set some aside, and wondering about starting a retirement for him at this early age, and just wondering what your thoughts might be on how to, split that money up or teach him some good savings
mechanisms. This is a fun phone call. Thank you. So how old is your teenager?
Well, I have two, but the one who's asking is 18.
18. All right. Now, does he have earned income? Did he have earned income last year?
Not last year. He did not.
Okay. Will he this year, do you think?
Yes. Not a lot, but a little.
A little. Well, to the extent that he's got earned income, he could actually open a Roth IRA this year. That's one option. Okay.
Is there a limit? What if he earned $10 this year? Can that mean he can open a Roth?
And that's a great question. So it usually it's to the extent of the minimum deposit that a mutual fund company will take. In some cases, they'll take as little as $50, all right?
He could also do a 529.
He could also do a 529 plan for his own education. And because he's already at the age of majority, he could actually open a sole account. Now, obviously, you want to have a beneficiary on there. Obviously, hopefully, nothing happens to him. But in this case, then it would pass on. But he can actually have his own investment account at age 18. All right? So mutual funds.
Stocks,
individual stocks, yep. Whatever, given risk tolerance and appropriate investing, if you will. But it's a great way for him to learn. I'm assuming this is a him. Are we saying him here?
Yeah.
Bill? Okay. Given that he has an interest, what a great way to learn about mutual funds and or individual stocks, because he's going to begin to get through his reports on these companies and talk about up close and personal. So if you can think about some in shorter term, some long term, some for education. All right.
And what are your thoughts on, you know, the Roth IRA? I mean, I could put some of that stimulus money into a, in and start a Roth for him. Is that, I suppose I should ask that in the form of a question.
Yeah.
Could that, I do that?
And yes,
then,
you
and
can.
That versus a 529.
Well, in the Roth, to the extent of what you believe his earned income will be for this year. So naturally, you want to be a little conservative with that estimate.
Yep.
But to the extent of his earnings, yes, you can do a Roth IRA. And oh, what a fantastic way to save for the long term. I would recommend a good long-term growth and income fund for something like that, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bill? Well, that's fantastic. Love that forward thinking. And what a great way for those children to learn, because they're going to need this information as they get older. The 401ks and all these other longer-term retirement accounts all are encompassed or a part, these types of mutual funds are always included in 401k plans.
And
so what a great way to pull it up close and personal. Yes.
It's a great way to, if you get a refund or you get that stimulus check, it's a great, it's investing in yourself and your future, and getting that a bit of money, you can invest in yourself. So I think it's a great idea.
There's nothing like beginning to go down that road yourself. For as young as your son is, Bill, still speaking to Bill even though he's not on the phone, for him to be able to have a direct interest in what's going on and to see these reports. Was there another question or a comment you wanted to make, Ron?
Well, Bill is still there, so I didn't realize that. If,
oh, Bill is still there. All right.
I'm still here, soaking in all the wisdom that Dennis has brought.
I'm preaching here. Well, you know, honestly, it's from my own experience. So our children, we opened 529 plan accounts or education accounts for them when they were relatively young. And I've said that story before, I told the story before, but I still remember their reactions to getting those statements on those accounts and asking questions about it. Now, what does this mean? What is the name of this fund? And what is it it invests? What does it own? You know, those kinds of questions, they seem like yesterday, but it's been a while. But they really did learn about investing, and it opened up a whole new world for them. Our oldest son, Andy, is all into it now, and so is Lindsay and Nathan. They each have their investment accounts. As a result, I think, as a part of it, learning about it at a relatively early age, it just is really helpful. So good.
Yeah, right. That's the position I'd like to put him in, but of course he just wants $1,400 cash to go buy Taco Bell. So.
Well, that's what Dad's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
You bet. Great. Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill, for the call there on New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout, and Heidi Thompson is in today, and Ed is on the line in Traverse City. Hello, Ed.
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Good morning, Ed.
Good. Mr. Prout, I have a question. I own a small business here in town. I have 10 employees, and we're at the point where I would like to offer my staff some retirement options, and I was just curious what your thoughts were on that and what vehicles might be available to us.
All right. A great question, Ed. So are all of them full-time employees or most of them full-time?
Yes. Yes.
All right. And do you think, just a quick question here, do you think that they would be willing to save any of their own money from their own compensation in a retirement plan like this?
I think that there are a handful of candidates that would, yes.
Okay. Well, I'll make some general 30,000-foot recommendations. The first one that comes to mind is the simple IRA. There are no administrative costs, per se, almost at all, for a simple IRA account. And basically how those work, is if your employees put in 3% of their compensation, you're required by that plan then, in most years, to make also a 3% match. All right?
Okay.
Now, to the extent that they save more than 3%, 3% is the maximum that you can actually match in a plan like that. But because of the ease and low cost of implementing something like this, and Heidi just handed me the cheat sheet here. Thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome.
On these things, it really can make sense. Now, your maximum contribution, if you're over 50, is $16,500 or any of your employees. So it's got a fairly high limit in how much you can put in.
And that's one of the great things about the simple is because on your own, you're limited to $6,000 if you're under 50 and $7,000 if you're over 50. But by providing this plan to yourself and your employees, you have that much more space all the way up to that $16,500 that Dennis mentioned for over 50 to put in more funds for your retirement if you're able to. And so that's one great reason to go with that simple plan.
Okay, okay. And what are the tax benefits, both for the employee and for the employer, in a situation like this?
You can write off all of your expense in the match that you put in for your employees, as well as for the contribution. Well, the contribution that you put in, obviously, is non-taxable. It's tax-deferred. And then the match that your company makes for you goes in as a deduction as well. So you're deducting the expenses for matching for all your employees, including yourself, as well as for your own contribution. So pretty significant tax benefits, all right?
Okay, outstanding. Well, very good. That was a pretty simple answer, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, to the extent that, just to fully cover that, he wanted to put in more money than it may make sense to take a look at a 401k plan. A significant percentage of smaller employers here in the Traverse City region actually use the simple IRA plan, but that doesn't preclude any company from graduating and going to a higher level if they feel they have the capacity, to fund to a greater extent.
Yeah, and that 401k plan tends to cost a little more for the administration side, and it also has more regulatory reporting requirements. And that's one reason why a lot of small businesses opt for the simple plan, because it's much more simple to administer.
You bet. It's a great way to get started and then possibly to graduate to a 401k in the future.
Yes.
Roth IRA options and all the rest, and generally more funds available too. But each plan offers its own positives and negatives. The full contribution to a 401k with a catch-up is $26,000 per year versus the $16,500 on the simple. Well, so Heidi, before we move on to further information regarding the COVID impact on retirement, we want to get to your information, options if you need to transfer your company plan.
Right. And a reason we thought this would be a good time to go over this information again is as we're talking about the effect of COVID on retirement and retirement accounts, some people decided to take money out of their plan, or maybe they had to leave the job they were at or switch jobs, and they may not know what to do with their 401k from a previous employer. So there's six basic options for distribution from a company plan. And the first one is probably the most popular option that people take advantage of, and that is to roll those balances that are in a 401k plan over to an individual retirement account or IRA. So this is a non-taxable event if you do it trustee to trustee and you follow all the rules that go along with that.
And fill out the paperwork properly.
Correct. That's something we do at our office a lot, is we walk with our clients through that process because you don't want to check the wrong box.
And some people would say, well, how tough can that be? You'd be surprised.
Some of these forms are like 20 pages long.
They are. Literally, we have had to call these administrators and say, all right, we don't get your paperwork. What? How do we help us fill this out? And they, you know, they go down line by line. Okay, this is what you fill in here and there, given what the client wants. So it does make a difference. It can significantly. All right, go ahead.
It certainly does. And yeah. Then another option is one that we've talked about here on the show, the Roth IRA. This would include some taxes if you're going from a pre-tax money in the 401k plan and rolling it over eventually into a Roth. But if you had Roth money already in your plan and you roll that over to a Roth IRA, that would not have any tax implication to you as long as you do that trustee-to-trustee transfer and
follow awesome.
The rules.
Yeah, now Roth or after-tax funds.
Exactly.
So some folks have put in money when they couldn't deduct it years ago. Mm-hmm. Years ago. 20, 30.
Decades ago.
Decades. Yes, indeed. Given that's the case, that money can be rolled over to a Roth and maintain its tax-free status. So exciting. Yep. Really. Go ahead.
Okay, the third option, this would be for people, if something happened to someone and they had passed away and their beneficiaries inherit that 401k account. Now, those individuals can roll those funds over to a beneficiary IRA or an inherited IRA, and that works as well for the Roth. And that would include more paperwork and forms for that transaction. Our fourth option is the lump sum distribution. This is what when you take the entire amount out of the 401k and just take it yourself, maybe put it in your checking account or an investment account, that is not a retirement account.
Because perhaps you're unsure what you're going to do with it. So you say, well, I just want the check.
Maybe it's only $2,000, and you just like, well, you know, I'm just going to use it. I need it as I'm switching jobs or something like that.
Sure. What if it's $100,000?
Yeah. That would take more careful consideration because that's going to be $100,000 of income that you're going to recognize in that tax year. Could bump you up into a higher tax bracket. There's a lot of ramifications. So before you take any lump sum amount, you really want to talk to a financial advisor and make sure that is the best choice for your circumstance.
But what if you don't want any taxes withheld when they send you the money?
Well, when you have...
I'm baiting Heidi, of course, yeah.
When you take a distribution from a 401k plan, there is usually a 20% mandatory tax withholding. And actually, that could be one of the reasons people want to move from a 401k plan to an IRA because of that mandatory 20% withholding, because maybe you don't need that much withheld. So, and then
you don't want the full 20% withheld because, oh my gosh, that's $20,000. And if I do decide to roll that into an IRA and I don't want that amount to be taxable, I've got to come up with that money myself in order to get that into the IRA if I try to do that within the 60-day limit, all right?
Right. So a fifth option is you can just leave it where it is. Even if you've left your employer and you have funds in the 401k, you can leave the money in that plan and until you are ready to do something with it or just keep that account open. One thing I would caution in this case, though, is especially if you've had multiple employers, that you don't lose track of that account, that you remember where it's at. And
it's not just losing track. It's also keeping track of all the different investment options that you've got. And many times we see retirees who basically say, I've got other things in life I'm trying to do, trying to keep track of how XYZ plan each of them are running and where I've got it invested, I'm starting to lose track.
Right. And also, when you've left an employer, you know, the further you get away from that date, you don't know the people anymore in human resources. You don't know who to call about things. And if the plan moves to a different custodian, your account is just going to transfer and you're going to have to take more of an active role to make sure that those beneficiary forms are filled out and all those other options, fund choices are made.
So. The details can be tough.
Yep. And then our final option that we're going to talk about today is you can convert within your 401k if you have a Roth IRA option. If the plan allows, you can convert within the plan from that traditional IRA or the traditional funds to the Roth funds. Now, you will have to pay taxes on the amount that you convert for the year in which you do that transaction. But it is a way to start transitioning money from a traditional side to a Roth side while you're still working, if you want to use that strategy.
It's great. It's so you have a lot of different options, and if you're another reason to possibly leave it in the 401k, you're 55. You've been let 55 or over, between 55 and 59 and a half. You've been let go from your employer. You may decide you want to leave some or all of that money in the 401k for emergency withdrawals. You weren't expecting to be let go. This happened. If you do leave it in the plan, then you don't have to pay the 10% penalty for lump sum withdrawals, as you normally would with an IRA. So in some cases, you do not want to transfer that or roll it to an IRA for reasons of cost or otherwise. So that's one reason to leave
it in.
It's
all about strategy.
It is indeed. You know, where are you at? What's going on? What do you need from these accounts? They can really work to your advantage.
Speaking of strategy, from the
text
line, a question: what are some of the benchmarks to look at to know if you are in good shape going into retirement? And I figure it has to either be a real simple response or real involved.
It's a relatively simple response according to this article, which these are the points I was just going to cover. At part of the stats of this study were that I'm just going to read directly because it answers, I think, this gentleman's question. While many Americans say they're planning for retirement, they often don't understand crucial fundamentals. Underestimating how much they should save and overestimating how much they could afford to withdraw each year in retirement. That means financial advisors have their work set out for them. It can mean that we need to make adjustments on the fly in terms of running the financial plans, running the numbers. Well, you don't have enough for this, but you do for that sort of thing. And it'll automatically update that as a part of this. But without going into that area, only 25% of respondents accurately indicated that financial professionals generally recommend having saved 10 to 12 times your income in your last full year of work. So by the age, let's say, of 60 to 65, 10 to 12 times what you earn each year. Let's just use a quick example. Let's say your income is $50,000 per year. Pretty tall order to have saved $500,000 in a retirement account between you and a spouse, let's say, by the age of 65. However, if you have, about what could you draw from that at 5% at $500,000? It's about $25,000 a year. That's about half your earned income. So that's where they're coming up with these numbers. 10 to 12 times is a great marker to shoot for. Oh, what happens if I don't make that? What adjustments could I make? It's amazing. The people, the clients that we have success, that we see that have success, tend to be more flexible in their planning. That's not rocket science. Well, yeah, I'd love to work. We hear this all the time from clients. I'd love to be a consultant for 3 to 4 years. After we retire, just in case something like COVID should happen again. So your ability to be flexible, it just makes an incredible difference. Well, then the other side of it. Well, Dennis, how much difference can that make? You wouldn't believe when we run these plans, someone making $15,000 to $20,000 a year. Now we're talking, I'm keeping these numbers smaller just to give ideas and put, if you will, shoes to the ability of virtually anyone to be able to accomplish something like this. Yes, Ron.
Is the goal, as that texter wondered, benchmarks? So 10 to 12 of what you made in your last year is something to shoot for, look at, or try to prepare for. With that, does that mean you'll earn in retirement about the same as you were used to earning, or do you have to get used to living with less income?
Well, that would be the same then, given that you have any Social Security benefits, which most will. So given that there's Social Security benefits of $1,500 to $2,000 a month, you know, they're already at $50,000. That's a slam dunk, if you will.
And I think we talked a couple weeks ago, we had an article where they said about 80% of what you need to, you know, your salary that you live on, because we talked about how part of your budget while you're working is saving for retirement. And so once you flip the switch and you're in retirement, that's one place you save. But there's other things like travel and you know, eating out at lunch and things like that that go into that budget as well.
This is where it gets fun. The major benefit of this is it gives you options. Well, what if I don't want to spend that much? What if I want to continue saving it? You can. The financial plan is going to encourage you to spend some more so that you have a balance in your retirement. Now, frankly, women tend to be better at that than men. They just do. They're better at creating, helping us men, I'll just say it, have that balance. You know, I don't want to get too detailed here because these are very personal conversations. A recent conversation was she was very concerned about the amount of stress that her husband was under. And she said, you know, I can live extremely conservative if we have to, given that current stress level that you're undergoing continues in your job, which is off the chart right now. So sometimes, you know, they can get out and about it, but they tend to be more balanced in that approach. And in some cases, may help protect us guys from ourselves. More than a quarter of respondents, 28%, thought they could draw. Now, this I thought was really critical. More than a quarter of respondents thought they could draw 10 to 15% of their savings each year in retirement rather than the suggested guidelines of 4 to 6%. And some would say, well, wasn't that what the returns have been on the stock market, Heidi? You just went through this retirement income. You got this new designation. Please tell us.
Well, we have to look at the long term. Remember, retirement isn't just the first couple of years. And there's going to be years where you have some more return and some years where you're going to have less return. So what we're looking for is the viability of that portfolio over the full retirement account time. So you know, yes, some years you're going to be making more than you're taking out, but there's going to be the flip side of that as well. At some point, you may be taking out more than you're making, and that's where we're coming up with some of these figures. Those all go into the mix. So it's not just simple math. There's a lot of factors that go into it.
There are a lot of factors, and as Ron was kind of alluding to, sometimes people spend, they're just by nature more conservative. They're not going to need 80% or even 100% of their pre-retirement income. They might need 50%. Of course, everyone is different. That's where you have to look at this for yourself. You know, for some, it may be 6 to 8 times is plenty for them. Everyone, of course, is different in these
That's
standards,
right.
if you will. Nearly three quarters of respondents, 72%, believe the stock market has seen, here's another huge one, this surprised us. We were talking about this before the show, Heidi. Believe the stock market has had negative returns more frequently than positive ones over the past 35 years. In reality, the S&P 500 index, that's 500 stocks, as tracked by McGraw-Hill, has had positive, positive annual returns for 26 out of the last 35 years. 26 out of 35. We lose track of that, don't we? And why is that?
We tend to remember those bad times, I think.
Yes.
It makes more of an impression on us. So.
Yeah. A separate study by American Advisors Group. Oh, yes, we need to do Shea Stats, so we'll do that right after this. A leading reverse mortgage lender found the events of 2020 have had a negative impact on the retirement plans of 30% of seniors. So it's not just the just retired or pre-retirees. Seniors say the year-long stay-at-home orders caused many seniors to reevaluate their retirement housing plans. More than a quarter of seniors said they felt safer at home in 2020 than in previous years. And more than half of American seniors, 55%, said they plan on living in their current home forever.
Mm. Wow. So,
and I think a part of that was the inability to have family visiting. So they may say, how can we figure this out? That may be what they're saying. I don't have any more information on that than that. But it may be for a variety of reasons, of course. And probably one of the reasons is they just don't want to be that isolated in getting their care. Do we have time for Shea Stats here before we take a break? Let's do that, shall we, Ron?
We shall do that. From Prout Financial Design, Shea Pitaja came in and recorded these earlier. Shea Stats.
Good morning. Are you ready for some Shea Stats? Here you go. The U.S. bond market, including treasury, municipal, corporate, mortgage, and asset-backed debt, was worth $49.9 trillion of December 31st of 2020. The treasury debt, $21 trillion, makes up the largest piece of the U.S. bond market. The source for that is Securities Industry and Financial Market Association. The U.S. stock market, including 3,461 publicly traded companies, was worth $41.2 trillion as of December 31st of 2020. Source for that, Wilshire. The most recent meeting of the Fed ended on March 17th of 2021 with their interest rate forecast calling for no interest rate hikes by the Fed until at least 2023. Source for that, of course, is the Fed. All right, the American consumers spent $2.81 trillion on foreign imports of goods and services in the calendar year of 2020. American consumers are forecasted to receive $800 billion in the form of stimulus payments, unemployment benefits, and child tax credits through the American Rescue Plan of 2021, and then turn around and spend $360 billion of the $800 billion on foreign imports. Chinese companies are predicted to sell Americans $60 billion of the $360 billion. Source for that is Allianz. The United States and China makes up 40% of the world's gross domestic product. That's from Barclays Investment Bank. The 17.8 million college students who enrolled in fall of 2020 were split. 41% male and 59% female. 17.8 million students are down just 2.5% from the 18.2 million students who enrolled in fall of 2019. That's from the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. Well, here's another school stat. Students applying to Ivy League school, Cornell University, for the 2022 and 2023 school year do not have to include their ACT or SAT test scores with their applications. I find that pretty interesting. All right, those are my Shea Stats for today. Have a great week.
All right, welcome back, WTCM. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson.
Just a quick note on the $50 trillion of bonds. It's about double the amount of real dollars that trade in bonds as trade in the stock market. So pretty significant and or worth what our GDP, annual GDP is, which is in the $25 to $26 trillion.
Those are big numbers.
Yeah, give or take a trillion here or there. Yeah, some real money. Real money. You bet. Early data suggests that relatively few have taken advantage of the ability to stop contributing to or make hardship withdrawals from their 401k plans as a result of COVID. Most plans report that less than 5% of their participants took that step. Nevertheless, 3,200 individuals had already withdrawn the full $100,000 hardship limit by April of 20. April.
Last year. And that was just a month and a half into the COVID thing.
What adds insult to injury on that one is that they took a huge loss in the value of their assets to do that. Most of them, most likely. Because that was just about the low point of the stock market at that time. Isn't it interesting? It's not just the dollars that came out. Of course, 3,200 times 100,000 is how much? $320 million. Not a small sum at all. Really significant. And the other part of that report is that a significant number, percentage, and I don't have, where is that, regret having done that. I think it
was
55%. Yes, regret having done that. Well, they have an opportunity to pay that back. They can actually pay that back in now. That was a rule that was,
The CARES Act.
the CARES Act that was effectuated last year to allow anyone who took up to $100,000 from their retirement accounts to pay it back in over the succeeding two-year period, I think it is.
Yep,
I don't have that right here at my fingertips, but they do have that ability. Because so if you yourself had to take a withdrawal from your retirement account as a result of COVID, so there has to be some direct reason that you actually took it, then you have that capability to pay that back in. That can be important. We can reference that for anyone who might want to contact us at the office.
And in that article as well, they said on average for those who withdrew money, say it will take them almost 6 years to be able to replenish that savings. So that just is hard to see.
It is. It's a bummer. So taking money out of those retirement accounts, look in almost every other area that you might have access to funds before you take money out of these retirement accounts at an early age.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.